If you have health insurance, you might be able to see a personal dietitian for $0 out of pocket. Nourish connects you with a dietitian that fits your needs, covered by your insurance. Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans, and 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Meet with your dietitian online and message them anytime through the Nourish app. With hundreds of five-star reviews from real patients, you know you're in good hands. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
In 2009, 3 days before Halloween, a grisly crime stunned the seaport town of Anacortes, Washington.
I can only describe it as evil.
From 48 Hours, this is Train to Kill, the dog trainer, the heiress, and the bodyguard.
He couldn't control his obsession.
Who was the hunter and who was the hunted? Follow and listen to Train to Kill on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's been a roller coaster ride on Wall Street. We'll talk all about it. I'm Andy Gersher, and this is Game. So as mentioned, markets have been all over the place as of late. We're bringing on Art Hogan, chief market strategist, B. Riley Financial in New York. Art, always great to have you on the Gains podcast.
It's always great to be back with you. Thanks so much for having me join today.
Yes, and we've seen a roller coaster ride for stocks. They've kind of been all over the place as of late. So let's start the convo with what's your takeaway here?
So, taking a step back and saying we entered the year with a great deal of enthusiasm for the new administration, believing that there were going to be animal spirits, pro-growth and pro-business, and cuts in regulation and perhaps even in taxes. And then we rolled into the actual post-inauguration making of the sausage. And the administration really had to start at the front end of their policies with tariffs. And that's caused a great deal of uncertainty. So we spent about 5 weeks with the market trying to price that in, giving up about 10% from peak to trough in the S&P 500. And for the time being, it feels like that was it. Now we have to wait to see the actual details of what the president proposes for tariffs. There's some back and forth on that. But I think the market has gotten to a place where they're a bit more comfortable with that, unless and until the announcement on tariffs looks larger and less surgical than perhaps we're thinking about right now. So I think the markets did a very efficient job of getting defensive. We saw sectors like healthcare and energy and staples outperform, and we saw some of the more high beta sectors like technology, communication services, and consumer discretionary underperform. And now we're going to see if that flip-flops a bit as we get more news on what this administration's new policies will actually mean for both inflation and the economy.
Some economists, talking about the economy, some economists are talking about a potential slowdown. Some are even citing that this has kind of been in the cards a bit. We did see the Dow theory turned bearish a couple weeks ago. Any thoughts on threat to the markets right now, and how likely we'll see at least some kind of recession or slowdown in the economy? Just thoughts on all of that.
Yeah, I would tell you this. I think any given year you come into, there's at least a 10% chance of a recession. It usually happens by something exogenous, right? So we have some major disaster, or there's a major change in either fiscal or monetary policy that injects a slowing of economic growth. I would say this year the percentage chance of that is a bit higher because we're making massive changes to both fiscal policy and things like immigration, right? And making changes to tariffs around that. We're doing that without necessarily cutting taxes, but hoping to keep the corporate tax rate where it is, and then perhaps, some lighter or softer regulatory touch. So you put all that together, and I would say what's happening right now is that the soft data, the University of Michigan confidence numbers, the conference board's consumer sentiment numbers have certainly plunged. And that can become self-fulfilling. But I think it's always important to sort of juxtapose the soft data that you get. Let's say you get a consumer confidence number on a Friday, which we did last week, and then you get a retail sales number the following week, and it doesn't line up. So what consumers actually say or about how they're feeling or what they're planning on doing versus what they're doing, it just isn't reflecting that economic slowdown yet. So we don't have any hard data pointing to that, but the confidence, the lack of confidence and uncertainty, if it lasts long enough, can affect decisions and certainly cause a slowdown. I would just say right now, is a perfect example is yesterday we saw a consumer confidence number that was a big disappointment, and it, as low as it's been, you know, going back years. But then durable goods orders came in, and they were much better than expected. So it's a battleground between the soft data and the hard data right now. But that soft data can eventually turn into hard data that is softer. It's just about the duration of how long this uncertainty lasts.
And then, you know, in the background with this land, you know, with this all going on in the background, a bit of uncertainty, but that's always for stocks. Where, you know, what's your advice for, say, the maybe more aggressive investor, someone who listens to the Gains podcast? Where do you see some maybe growth or some real opportunity maybe others aren't seeing right now?
Three things I would say to that, and I think it's a great question. So I would say that if you look at the defensive nature of the market thus far this year, some of those trades have gotten ahead of themselves. So consumer staples, a perfect example, very defensive, but trading at multiples we haven't seen in multiple years. So getting expensive. And I think that if we get any modicum of certainty over the end point of trade policy, some of those defensive trades might unwind. I would say the staples are probably the most expensive. The flip side of that, though, is I would say that when you look at how much multiple compression we've seen across the board in technology, it just feels like it's a coiled spring. So I think you get, you know, if you can usher in either some absolute certainty on where the end point is for trade policy, and couple with that the ability to keep the corporate tax rate where it is and some lighter regulations, I think you're going to see a very significant bounce in technology. So those are the two things I would say. What I wouldn't give up on, though, and this is the third, is energy, because I think energy is really poised to be one of the best performing sectors this year, continues to sit in the top three in terms of sectors in the S&P 500. But the lighter regulatory touch is going to increase productivity of the energy sector writ large, right? We know the administration is very pro the industry, but I think the industry itself is going to get more productive, meaning they're going to be able to get drilling permits faster. They're going to be able to likely build pipelines to move the product from where we have it to where we need it. So while we've seen a nice run on a year-to-date basis in energy, I think it's just the beginning.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. Hey, be sure to subscribe, follow, leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. I've been told that's podcast gold. Totally appreciate the solid there. And as always, subscribe and turn on those notifications so you know when a new Gains episode drops. We drop Gains episodes on Wednesdays, and we'll be right back with Art after the break. All right, back with Art Hogan, Chief Market Strategist, B. Riley Financial in New York. Art, as we were heading into break, you mentioned one of my favorite sectors as well right now, and that is energy. I'm with you. I think that there is some upside, and you know, buying in at these levels or maybe even a little lower is just not a bad idea. How do you suggest investors play energy right now, specifically a couple companies, areas?
Yeah. So there's two things you can do. And obviously, the S&P 500, all of those sectors are broken down into individual sector ETFs, which is a great way to get exposure. But if you want to really put a finer point on this, the three names I would point to right now, and they've been on our focus list for a couple of years now, and some of our favorites, is Chevron. So you take a look at a Chevron. It's a multinational trading at a very reasonable multiple at 16 times. It throws off a 4% dividend, and it's got massive potential. So I think that's of the multinationals, Chevron or Exxon, we prefer Chevron, but we're not going to tackle you on the way to the door if you'd rather buy Exxon. Another name is Devon Energy, one of the best North American E&P companies, exploration production companies, throws off a 3.5% dividend, trades at a 7.8 multiple, so very unchallenged multiple. And I certainly think that the prospects for Devon Energy in a lighter regulatory world are you haven't even scratched the surface there. The third, and probably a little more controversial, for some investors, I would say is an LNG play. So I think that when you think about the U.S. and our ability to become the leading producer and distributor of LNG product to the world, I think that it's going to be the next sort of revolution for U.S. energy. So when we think about that, it's Cheniere Energy, symbols LNG. It's one of the best producers of LNG. It's already got two massive plants up and running. And I just think the energy revolution globally is going to be the use of the natural gas that we have, 300 year supply in the United States, and having that distributed around the world from a friendlier provider than where a lot of folks in Europe are getting their energy product now. Company trades at a 18 multiple, and it throws off a 1% dividend, and I just think the growth prospects are all in front of Cheniere Energy LNG.
Yeah, and you know, LNG at large, production in the U.S. is at record levels, and as you kind of mentioned, Europe, a big potential customer, and that would be, you know, LNG. I'm with you. You know, I'm a big fan of energy right now. Chevron is one of my single favorite stocks. Love a bit of the dividend while you hold that to wait for higher prices. And then, you know, I love the LNG play. I think that's really a big area for the U.S. to kind of home in on. And it's going to be under, as you mentioned, lighter regulations, it appears.
Yeah, it certainly does. And it's not as though this is going to be regulation where this industry is going to overdevelop, right, and overproduce. I think they learned that lesson from the last cycle, and they're good stewards of investors' capital, so they're returning capital to investors both in dividends and share buybacks. But the productivity that can be increased with a lighter regulatory touch such that you're able to get things done faster. You need to open up a new plant. You want to drill in a new basin. You need a pipeline built, and all of that can happen when you cut a lot of that red tape.
You know, I always ask our guests throughout the day, just everybody I really come in contact with, all the experts, you know, tell me something I don't know. Fill in a blind spot for me. I ask this to people all the time. And that's what I'm going to do today, Art, is, you know, from a Gaines listener perspective, tell us something we don't know. Fill in a blind spot for us. Give us some new idea. Just give us a little nugget here, Art. Fill in a blind spot for us. What don't I know?
Well, here's one thing that you don't know. As much as we have some angry rhetoric going on between the U.S. and Canada right now, Canada and the United States need each other more than any two trading partners in the world, and I will tell you why that is. They produce heavy crude oil that we need at our refineries. We are the only place that Canada sells that to. They sell it to us at a discount. So getting into a trade war with this partner makes zero logistical sense, and I expect there are going to be no tariffs increasing on energy products and very minimal tariffs being levied against Canada at the end of the day. So it's really important to think about the logistical importance of Canada and the United States, and I think this harsh rhetoric is likely going to end once everyone comes to their senses and realize, you know, we're their only customer, they're our only supplier, our refiners need their energy product to make the gasoline we produce in this country.
Yeah, and you know, there's a little political uncertainty in Canada right now as well, so I think that there's a bit of political rhetoric being used as in the equation.
100%. And, that, you know, it's always about politics. But at the end of the day, the economics of our relationship really make sense. If you back out the energy that we desperately need from them, we're running a trade surplus with them. So they're the last country that we really need to get in a fight with. And I think at the end of the day, we're all going to realize that and come back to our senses and start looking at places that perhaps have tariffs that really are unreasonable on us.
And then as we wrap up today's Gaines podcast, what's a big theme that Gaines listeners should be watching as, you know, we kind of muddle through here?
All right. Here's one theme that I think is going to become more and more important as we head into the spring. And just keep an eye on the 10-year. Yield on the 10-year peaked at 4.8%, got as low as 4.25%. Typically, the 30-year fixed mortgage is tied to that. And usually the difference is about 125 or 150 basis points. Right now, it's 225 basis points. Hypothetically, think about how much existing home sales activity would pick up if the 30-year fix went from 7% where it started this year down to 5.5%. We'd start to get the people that have been sitting on these low mortgages finally offering up some existing homes for sale. And I think we could have a really good spring existing home sales season. And I think that just keep an eye on that 10-year because we get some mean reversion and that gets a touch lower. I think that existing home sales are going to explode this spring. And I think that's a very positive thing for the economy.
All right, that's going to wrap up today's Gaines podcast. Big thanks to Art Hogan, Chief Market Strategist at B. Riley Financial in New York. Hey, be sure to subscribe, follow, leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. That's an option for you. And as always, subscribe and turn on those notifications so you know when a new Gains episode drops. We drop Gains episodes on Wednesdays, and I look forward to seeing you then.
A News Radio WBBM podcast, powered by Odyssey.